door, and as I looked out the front door, there lying in the middle of the yard was, we had bags of garbage I was going to put in the can, and everyone was ripped up and strewn all over the yard. The bear was at it again. We regularly get bears in our yard, and fortunately, they're there probably about 4 or 5 in the morning, just before I get up. They strew the garbage all over, so I dutifully go out, pick it up, and put it in garbage cans, hopefully they won't get it before the trash guy comes and gets it. But I'm taking good care of the bears, just so you know that. Just sharing that with you. Praise God. Today, if you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Colossians, one of my favorite passages, and a passage that I did an exegetical study on during my seminary time some years ago, and enjoyed this truth so much. And educators and theologians entitled this the Christ Hymn. And in this Christ hymn, it's a beautiful depiction of who Christ is and, of course, what he has done, and give him glory for that. And just reading through this and then touching on some of the points of this, I'd like to read through this, the Christ hymn. And beginning in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 20 is considered to be this Christ hymn. Obviously, before that, Paul is setting up some of the thoughts that lead up to his elucidating on the truth of Christ in his glory. But this is such a beautiful passage. Read it to you now and then speak about it. In 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. What a beautiful truth and what a beautiful hymn to Christ this is. And I wanted to take it apart line by line and looking at some of the truths and some of the things that I find so exciting. When I speak about the thought of Christ as being the image of God, so many thoughts came into my mind of my inadequacy to be able to express what the image of God would be represented in the person of Jesus Christ. But in John 14, 9, it says, have you been so long with me, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Christ says this to Philip. He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how say thou then, show us the Father? You know, Adam couldn't say. Adam was made in the image of God. They called the Imago Dei, the image of God. And Adam was made in the image of God. But Adam could never say, he who has seen me has seen God. Nor can any man. But Jesus, being the express image of God, is supremely greater than any other. Jesus is the one and only perfect image of God. It excites me so when I think of Christ leaving his throne in glory and coming to this earth. But Christ, as I thought about an image, and I want you to think about this, if I was to show you my face in a mirror, then it would be my reflection. Christ is not the reflection of God in that sense. The beauty that I see in the statement that Christ is the express image, we find that in Hebrews, he is the express image of God, is that he is the living image of God. He is God in the flesh, and he is the express image of the Father in the beauty of that. He is all that the Father is in his divinity. Christ is all divine. As Michael sang that song, he transcends. And I just thought, how about it? He transcends me, and he transcends all the ways of man and all the wisdom that there is. God transcends that in the person of Jesus Christ. He transcends the mind. He is beyond all understanding. And he is not only what the Father is in form as the perfect image, but he is what the Father is in his function. And I thought about this for scriptures on these, and I've quoted this so many times, but let this mind be in you also, which was in Christ, who being in the very form of God, thought it not something to be grasped, to be made equal with God. So Christ is the very form of God. And it just escapes me how I can express this to you to show you how much that Jesus is of the Father. And I love when and also to say that he is also functionally as the Father in John, 5:19. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. I love the truth of that, that Jesus is motivated and instigated and carried along by the Father in him, I in him and he in me, as Christ said. And reading a few scriptures just to throw these out at you as to the beauty of his divinity. I love where it says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Amen. And I rejoice in Jesus Christ and in the beauty of that. And the Bible says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Hallelujah. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. I love when in Isaiah, God states, my glory will I not share with another. And many times we've heard some of the cults say that Jesus wasn't God, he was a God. And so these cults are worshiping a God. And if there's any other God, the Bible said, there is no other God but one. Amen? And thou shalt have no other gods beside me. If Jesus Christ was not God, he should not receive glory. He should not receive worship. But he himself said, restore unto me the glory that I had with you before the world began, he says in his prayer to the Father. Hallelujah. And I thank God that all glory belongs to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because of who he is. And because of what he has done and accomplished in winning our salvation, I give God glory for that. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is in the Father's side. He hath made him known. Jesus Christ has made him known, the only Son. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. And in John 17, that they may all be one, just as the Father and I are one, I and you and you and me, that they may believe that you have sent me. And then, as I said in Hebrews, this beautiful verse, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholdeth the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is God. Amen. From all eternity. There is a theological term called eternal generation. And just want to explain a little bit about the thought beside that. When we speak of eternity, we must not place it in the context of time. When you think of eternity, it's only something you can think of you can't think of it as something that you could ever comprehend or grasp. It is only, I can't say it's a theory, it's a fact because God is eternal. But you can never place eternity in the constraints of time. To say, and I've heard this said a misnomer at times, eternity past. There is no eternity past. If eternity was in the past, then it would have put in the place of time. So eternity can't be in the past. Eternity is and always has been and always will be. Amen? And God Almighty is eternal. If I could have generated a son without Lillian, he would be much like me. And not a clone, but if I could just have sort of expressed out of myself a son, if I could somehow make an exact person like me, that would be close to me, that might be able to express a little bit, but obviously I can't do that. But what the Father has done in bringing forth the Son from himself is what the Bible, not the Bible, what theologians speak of as being eternal generation. When I think about this, I can only bring this into some kind of a finite thought. If I had a chair, let me get a chair and try and make a thought. I was thinking about this morning as I was trying just to possibly think how I might illustrate to you and to myself. Say that this is the Father seated in his throne in eternity. And for all eternity past, there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit residing from all eternity in one, for God is one. And what the theologians speak about as being eternal generation is that just for a second, I want you to close your eyes for 2 seconds when I say now, okay? 1, 2. All right, now open them. Now, picture that I am still there in this chair and picture that as being the Father. But now picture this as being the Son. What has happened, and I can't even say has happened, from all eternity past, Jesus has been generated from the Father. It is as though he stepped out of the Father, but not in time. It has always happened. He has eternally proceeded from the Father. That is eternal generation, that the Father and he are still one, but the Father is there, the Son is an individual person, and the Holy Spirit eternally proceeds from the Father. It's an unexplainable truth, but nevertheless, Jesus Christ has been has come from the Father. No one else has. Amen. Adam didn't come from the Father in that respect. He was created. Jesus Christ was not created. He was generated from the Father. Not in any time, but in eternity. He is eternally united. He is eternally generated from the Father. Theologically, that is about as far as a theologian can go in trying to explain the accomplishment of the Trinity. And so I leave that with you to know that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. As the Father is seated on the right, is seated on the throne, Christ is at the right hand of the Father in a body. Somehow, especially after the resurrection, he is in a body. And thank God, my body will be made like unto his glorious body. The discussion with David this morning that where was paradise and what happens to everybody when they leave? Well, here's my understanding. The Bible said that when Jesus saw the thief on the cross, he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And also when I read through the story of the rich man and Lazarus, I read that the Lazarus has gone to be in Abraham's bosom. And I understand the Bible and doctrine to say that when Jesus Christ ascended from the dead, or not ascended, but rose from the dead, that all of that paradise was broken up and all those dead went to be with Christ. And that is why to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord or present with the Lord. I believe now, since God is seated on the throne and Christ is, at one point we saw him standing at the right hand of the Father when Stephen was the first martyr. But the Bible said that I am already seated together with Christ in heavenly places. So if he's on the right hand of the Father, I'm in the right hand of Jesus Christ already. I've got a place prepared for me that Jesus Christ has made for me. And I thank God that I am going to be with him. And I give him glory for that. But rejoice in the fact that Jesus Christ is in eternity. And all those that have died in Christ are at home with the Lord. And I thank God for that. When I read this, again, the beautiful hymn, it says, who is the image of the invisible God? To look on Jesus Christ is to look on God. Not as an expression of him, but as God in the flesh. I have to say this again, that Jesus Christ is God. Will you say amen? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. That Word was with God, and that Word is God. I thank God for that. Now, I see the next phrase. It said, he is the firstborn of every creature. Now, I have to take you to this thought because that almost sounds like he was the first created, which is not true. Jesus was not the first created. The first created, obviously, were the angels, and maybe the first created human was Adam. Not maybe. Adam was the first created human, but Jesus Christ was not created. I tried to go through this little inadequate illustration to show you that Jesus Christ proceeded from the Father, was generated, eternally generated from the Father. But when it says here, the firstborn of every creature, that means that he held the place of the firstborn. In Jewish tradition, the firstborn child received a double portion and was held in a greater place than any other children that were born after him. In Deuteronomy, I'm reading 21:17, but he shall acknowledge the firstborn, the son of the unloved, by giving him a double portion of all that he has, for he is the first fruits of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. Jesus Christ is the firstborn in position. He holds that place of position, not because he was eternally generated, but because he holds the place of the only Son of God. There is none other. Human analogies fall short of all this. We can only make a bit of an inadequate illustration, but Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God from all eternity. He is the only Son. I love in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. When the Bible says that, it was before Christ was ever born, but unto us a child was born, a son was given. That son is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. God is the eternal Father. Hallelujah. That excites me to no end because I just know that God's word is settled. And this is such a beautiful portion of scripture to me. And so we have Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And then it goes on to say, and if this was a song, I imagine this would be the verse. Or maybe this would be the chorus. You could sing this, but it's so beautiful. I've taken the first three verses, 15 through 17, is to be either the chorus where he sings this again and again. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. Jesus Christ created everything. Everything was created by Jesus Christ. All things were created by him, the Bible says. All angelic beings, all of the spiritual realm, all of the physical realm, everything was created by Jesus Christ. Can you rest assured that Jesus Christ is God, your God, and that he cares for you? Imagine, if you will, and I want to bring to this place, after you've sung this song in your mind or read through this, that this isn't just a trite love song. This is the song of the ages. This is the most important song that you could ever sing, the hymn of Christ, to say that he is the creator of all things. He is your creator. He is your sustainer. All things were made by him, the Bible says. And then it goes on to say, and for him. Do you realize that everything that has been made in heaven and in earth was made for Jesus Christ, to give glory to him? That is the reason that you are here, to glorify God. The chief end of man is to glorify God. And if you've ever been hesitant as the reason to glorify God, then I want to give you a reason through this hymn to be able to think why. Because he is the image, the perfect expression of God in the flesh. He is all of God you will ever see is Jesus Christ. And that is who you will spend eternity with. Richie said a beautiful thing today in Sunday school. He said, if there were not streets of gold, if there was not all the beauty, if there was not a line of gold and walking those streets of glory, he said, as long as I could stand there and look at Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! That excites me that I will see my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for me and gave his life for me. This gives me a reason to shout, a reason to give glory to my God, because he is all that he has claimed to be. The Bible says all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Do you realize that everything is held together by the word of God? Now, I took this as far as I could possibly take it in my finite mind, that God is holding you together by the word of his power. And everything is being held together. But if for the moment that God ever left go of me, all the atoms in my body would just somehow just disperse or not even being. And I took it to this point that God even holds Lucifer together. And God even held the spittle that they spit in Christ's face together. God is in everything. There is nothing that is happening in your life that God is not in. God is in everything. Will you say amen to that? This will give you strength to face the day, because when adversity comes or when challenges come and you say, where is God? God is in the midst of it. He knows what you are going through. He will go through it with you and he will bring it to a good end. That's the promise of God. There's nothing that has escaped. All things were made by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. All things are held together by God Almighty. That is someone you can glory in. That is someone you can trust in. That is someone you can rely on. You can bank on Jesus Christ and trust him in all ways. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For by him were all things made, and by him all things consist. Hallelujah. The Bible says also, and I read this portion again. It's a beautiful, beautiful scripture. Hallelujah. Where'd that go? And he is the head of the body. Now, when I think about myself as being seated together with Christ in heavenly places, the reason that I am seated together with Christ in heavenly places is because Christ is the head and I am part of the body. I'm a living stone and I am part of the body. So where Jesus is, in essence, that is where I am spiritually, and I will be there in fact when I leave this body to go to be with the Lord. But the body already places me. In Ephesians, I am seated together with Christ in heavenly places, already where Christ is in that sense. But the Bible says he is the head of the body. And what he means by that, obviously, he goes on with the next word. He is the head of the body, the church. And that is why I'm having such great respect for the church en masse and the local expression of the body of Christ. We, as the local expression of the body of Christ, you should count your local assembly whatever church you belong to, as long as they're lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, to be an expression of the body of Christ. This is what it's going to be like in heaven, but in a more perfect form. We will be together and we will all be worshiping Christ. And when the worship band is up there playing, we're all going to be singing with the best voices, playing the best instruments, giving the best glory to our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And it will go on and on. I'm telling you, you will not be bored and you will not be saying that person doesn't sing so well, but they'll all be singing great. They'll all be giving glory to God. It's going to be a wonderful time of lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. That will be our occupation, to glorify God. Often you thought people would say, well, isn't that going to be a bit boring, standing up, sitting up there in a cloud playing a harp all day? No, there's going to be things to do. There's going to be jobs to be had, but there's going to be a time of worship and praise that is going to go on and on and on and on and on. Hallelujah. I thank God that for after 10,000 years, we'll just have begun to glory. It says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us. And I'm looking so forward that what Christ's occupation will be in heaven is to pour out his mercy and grace and love upon the church of the living God. Hallelujah. You have no idea. Eye has not seen, your ears heard, neither entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But we know by our spirit, and my spirit leaps, even as Elizabeth's womb must have leapt when Mary came and spoke to her, and John leaped within her womb. My spirit is leaping within me to usher in that time when I am home with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Bible said he is the head of the body. I have a head, and that head is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, all the heads of earth will fall. There'll be none standing. Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is alone the one that deserves all the glory, and all the praise belongs to him. He is the head of the body, the church, and that is who we are trusting in. And I thank God for the church. He said, who is the beginning? That doesn't mean he began to be. That means he is the instigator. He is the beginner. He is the one that has begun it. The church began with Jesus Christ. And I explained this to you before, but I want to say it again because I just feel so good saying this. It was a bit of my own revelation. You probably knew it already, but this is what excited me so much. That when Christ rose from the dead, unlike Lazarus or the widow of Nain's child or anyone else that rose from the dead, Christ rose as the first one that would enter into a new creation. He is the one that has instigated the new creation. And when we are in eternity and our bodies are made like his glorious body, we will be living in a new creation. Now get this. The Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away. That there'll be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And if you were to try to live in that new heaven and a new earth in these physical bodies, frail, corrupt bodies, you'd never last a moment. But I will be given a body made like unto his glorious body that will never be corrupted, that will never sin, that can stand and give glory to God for 10,000 years. I will have that kind of capacity, and I will live in a new heaven and a new earth. Christ is not only the beginner of that, he is the beginning of that, the first begotten from the dead. Oh, when people read that, they said, I'm not understanding. There's other people rose from the dead, but no one rose from the dead like Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He rose in power. He rose in might. He rose never to die again. He rose and put sin down, and he lives forevermore, and I give God glory for that. Hallelujah. He's worthy, worthy of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Bible says the first begotten from the dead. And the reason it said he's the first begotten from the dead is because when he rose in a glorified body. He rose like no one ever rose, and but I can't say never will raise. We're going to raise, be raised just like him. The thing that comforted me this week, and I told this in Sunday school, is I was reading or going through Ephesians. I have an app that plays the Bible, and so I listened to that in the car, just the Bible over and over again. And it was playing through Thessalonians, and it came to the part in Thessalonians that said, I want to assure you that we that are alive and are going to be taken with Christ will not prevent those that have fallen asleep in the Lord. And I was thinking of Tim and those that have gone before, my mother, father, sister, and many even from this congregation and other loved ones that you may have had. Those that are alive and remain will not prevent those that have fallen asleep from being caught up with the Lord. For the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall be caught up together with the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And then the Bible says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. So God gives you the comfort to know that whether you live or whether you die, that you belong to Christ Almighty. The joy of knowing that can sustain you through anything, to know that God is with me and watching out for me. My Heavenly Father cares for me. Christ, my brother, is looking out after me. And I thank God for the truth of that. He is the firstborn from the dead, and we all that believe in him will follow in suit. We will go to be with the Lord in glorified bodies. Hallelujah. Said that in all things, he might have the preeminence. Hallelujah. He has the preeminence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus Christ is preeminent in all ways. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I threw away my message here. Okay, there it is. Hallelujah. You thought I was done. No, I got 3 more hours to go. He's preeminent in all things. He is preeminent means that he is in first place. Christ is in first place. I thank God he's won the race. He is in first place, and he's in first place in our hearts too. That in all things he might have the first place of honor. He is the preeminent God. There is no other God greater. There is no other God beside God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, and I give God glory for that. Can't you give God glory for that? Thank you, Jesus. He is the preeminent God. He is the first and only God. He is the first begotten from the dead. He is the first of all creation. He is the first place in everyone's life. It is Jesus Christ who's the preeminent God Almighty. Hallelujah. He is the first, as I said, he is the firstborn son. Not born, he's the first begotten son of the Father. He is the only begotten of the Father. There is another son, no other son, like unto Christ Almighty. Everyone else pales beside Christ Almighty. He is preeminent as the creator of the universe and all that is in it, all that is seen and all that is not seen. He is the preeminent one in that. He is the preeminent one as the firstborn from the dead. He is the preeminent one as the founder of the church. He is the preeminent one in all things. The Bible says he is preeminent. The Bible said, for it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus Christ, all fullness should dwell. Said, what does that mean, all fullness? In Colossians 2:9, it said, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hear this. For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. To have seen Christ is to have seen God. To have come and encountered Christ is to have come and encountered God. And we will stand before Jesus Christ, glorified with him as joint heirs with our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Antichrist will come. The false prophet will come. The beast will arise. But they cannot hold a candle to my God and Savior, Christ Almighty. There is nothing in this life to fear because God who is full, who in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He has you in concern. He is concerned for you. You are in his mind. He is concentrating on you. The fullness of God resides in the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's too much for me to grasp. I can only say what the Bible says. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus Christ, all fullness should dwell. Hallelujah. How you can meditate upon that. If you ever want something to meditate upon, just read through this hymn and meditate upon every verse, every line of this. What a glorious truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And finally, he says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. I love the way this song is just structured. It begins telling of the beauties of him being the image of God. It tells about him being the firstborn of all things. It tells about him having created all things. And we're thinking about physical and spiritual realms and how he is before all things and in time because he is eternal. It talks about him having all things consist because of him. It goes on to say he is the head of the church, the first begotten from the dead, and that in him he should have the preeminence in all things. And then it goes on to tell you how he did this, how Christ did this. He didn't do it from staying up in eternity, but he came to this earth. And he didn't do it just by coming to this earth to reign as a king, to reign as a monarch. He didn't do it just to grow up and to suffer pain and to see what man lived. He not only suffered it, but he died and shed his blood that you might have eternal life. That is what the God of all creation did for you. He came and he died for you. Is that not enough? It's enough for me. I thank God for what he has done. The Bible said, and having made peace through the blood of the cross. I know there's people that go through turmoil in this life. They have no peace. They don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But I also know people that are born again believers that are constantly falling into turmoil and in distress and even depression because they have not taken the truth of the reality that Christ is their peace. You will not have peace in this world. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, Christ says, for I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. He has overcome the world and he will overcome every aspect of difficulty that you have in this world because he is preeminent. And in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is Jesus Christ who we're speaking about. And having made peace. And how did he do this? By the blood of the cross. And what did that do for me? Why, it washed my sins away. Though my sins were as scarlet, now they are whiter than snow. Though they were red like crimson, now they're like wool and the whitest wool. Even as the hair on Christ's head must have been like wool that was said this morning. What a beautiful truth that I have Christ that stands with me in the midst of turmoil and in the midst of difficulty. What a Savior. There's too much here. You have too great. He is more than we could ever ask for. He's all we ever need. He is our Christ. He is our God. He is our all in all. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for your goodness. And having made peace, what is the peace we have? I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it took his blood. It took his life's blood to accomplish that. And he gave it all for me. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Hallelujah. That's exciting. That's exciting to me. The Bible said, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. I've never been able to totally understand how Christ has purged what he has purged in heaven, or done what he's done in the heavenly realm. I thought about the second heaven where the starry planets are. That you realize that all of creation, all of the physical realm is held in corruption and will be destroyed because it is corrupted by the fall of Adam, who should have been that one who brought salvation to the world, but he failed to follow God, and Christ came to do and be that second Adam, which the first Adam could not take care of. Christ came, and by his blood, he paid for all my sins and washed them away. And now he is preeminent in all things, having won it by the cross and by the blood of his cross. And the Bible says that he is by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, all things have come back to him, certainly because of who he is, but also by what he's accomplished. If he hadn't come back, so what if we all would have died and all would have gone to hell? Christ wasn't satisfied with that. He wanted to call a bride. He wanted to call his church home. And so he came and sacrificed himself for you and for me. Amen. Isn't that beautiful that he gave that sacrifice? Thank you, Jesus. The Bible said he was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we have been healed. Hallelujah. I thank God that he has restored us and made us whole again. Closing, I just want to give a couple thoughts about what this means to us and how we can take this and live day by day with this. The Bible says in 8:29 Romans, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. How, whoa! That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Do you realize that God wants you to be conformed to the image of his son? The Bible says that man was made in the image of God, and the image of likeness was he made. But we have marred that image. And that image now will be taken out of the way, that physical image. Of course, it was the spiritual aspect that God was speaking of, not physical. But now we are to be conformed to the image. We are to affirm the fact that we are growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ, and our minds are being transformed as they are being renewed by the power of God, and we are being brought back to the image of God Almighty. The beauty of holiness in which we stand. That is what Christ has prepared for us. That is what God has called us to be conformed to that image of Christ Almighty. So that when we are on our way already, but when that time comes and we cross over into eternity with Christ Almighty, our bodies will be transformed, made like unto his glorious body, and we are already started to live that holy life, and we will just be on to eternity with Jesus Christ. I thank God for that I'm being conformed into that image and giving glory to him. The one hand, what Adam failed to do, we are now called by the power and the Spirit of Christ within us to be able to accomplish. We are to walk in holiness, even as he is holy. We're to follow the Spirit, and they will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. That is what Christ is calling us to do, to be conformed to that image. Who out there wants to be conformed to the image of Christ? Let him dwell in you richly. Let the power of Christ descend upon you. Give your life to him. Acknowledge him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And acknowledge him that you would be conformed to the image of Christ in all that you do. As we come to this communion table this day, is there anything needs to be laid afresh and anew at the foot of the cross? Do that. Let nothing stand in your way between the Lord and your life in him. Let no sin, no guilt, no shame, put it all at the foot of the cross and come and receive all that Christ has for you. Live in the glory of his presence. Be filled with the joy of Christ Almighty. May God bless you. to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I praise him for his love. Let me read through this one more time. It's just so beautiful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, first in everything, for it pleased the Father that him in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Praise God. Let the joy of Christ dwell in you. Let the truth of this image of Christ, the Imago Dei, rest upon you in reality and in truth, and revel in the glory of Christ this day. Amen. If the ushers would come forward.